let's build a show where one of the kinds of people you'll bring on is people that do that. Let's talk to people that flip houses. Let's talk about the complications. Let's talk about the kitchen and all the problems that go into it. By doing that, you're having a dynamic conversation. You're building a relationship with somebody that's a potential referral partner. You're getting your own sound bites out of this, and it's stuff that can be informational for other people who are interested in buying like this. Or, you know, if somebody bought a house, then they're going to DIY it. Maybe they're learning some stuff as well. And when they realize, because a lot of DIY people realize, oh, this is a lot, and I probably am in over my head a little bit, maybe they'll call you. That's just the entry point. But that's really the basic ideas. Who are the kinds of people that you want to talk with that can help you grow your business, whether it's direct clients, strategic partners, that kind of thing? How do you create a lane for you to naturally talk about what you do with those people where it doesn't feel salesy, it doesn't feel forced, and it opens up a good conversation?
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Hey, superfan superstar, Freddie D here. In this episode 100, we're joined by Vince Quinn, a master of the mic and a true champion of the hosting craft. Vince began his journey as a radio intern and climbed the ranks to become a nationally syndicated radio host, reaching audiences across 225 stations throughout the U.S. and Canada. Today, he's the co-founder and creative director of SBX Production, where he helps businesses launch and elevate their podcasts with purpose, clarity, and impact. As a host of It's Not Just Talking, Vince brings his passion for meaningful conversation to the forefront, teaching others how to harness the often overlooked skill of hosting. From podcasts to meetings to first dates, Vince shows how the art of great conversation can transform the way we communicate, connect, and lead. Get ready to rethink what it means to truly host. This conversation is packed with insight, energy, and practical takeaways.
Welcome, Vince, to the Business Superfans Podcast. We're excited to have you here. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
So let's get into the backstory of how did SBX come about? There's more story to just that. How did you get from where you initially were to where you are today, helping businesses develop a podcast strategy to expand their market awareness and attract customers?
Yeah, so it really started with a dream job that turned into a nightmare, to be honest with you. I was in sports talk radio in Philly, which for me was like the ultimate. I grew up every day, I'm watching sports news, going to Phillies games. That's all you talk about at school. I'm playing sports video games all the time. My dad coached my teams. I'd go to church on Sunday and people would wear Eagles gear to church. It was everything.
Super fans.
Right? And super fans to the biggest degree. That was the world that I grew up in. And so many relationships that I had built over the years, sports were very much tied into that. To be a social guy, I was always out and about and maintained a lot of relationships with friends of mine. To be able to translate those social skills, being out and about, having conversation, and turn that into sports talk radio was something that I initially did not think was possible for me. I just never considered it. Growing up, then I got the chance to work at a sports talk station in Philly, 94 WIP, one of the biggest sports stations in the country. And I started there spinning the wheel for prizes at events. So I was setting up the tents. I was an intern. And from there, I just kept climbing the ladder and taking all these different shifts and studying things when I had downtime. I might be out for 12 hours at an event, spinning the wheel, handing out shirts, doing all that kind of stuff. I'd get back to the station, unload everything, sit in the producer's booth, learn how to run the board, play the commercials, cut sound bites, get them in the system, see how a show runs.
I was a radio rat. I just lived at the studio. I had a sleeping bag in my car because I slept on the couch all the time over there. I was so obsessed with it once I got in the door. And eventually, I was nationally syndicated by the time I was 29. I was with CBS Sports Radio doing a national weekend overnight show. It was the Vince Quinn show. And I was also hosting in Philly at the same time. It was exhausting, man. Everything about that job, the way you have to pay attention to all the different news stories and know everything that's breaking. You're watching the games. You're coming up with opinions on players and coaches and systems and how people should react on social media. And you're just to do all of that myself at different hours of the day. I was doing overnights, but I'm also doing stuff where I'm working a morning show. I would have shifts that ended at 6 a.m. and a shift that started at 6 a.m. I had stuff in the afternoon, weekends, holidays, overnights. That was my day to day. And you're always trying to keep up. You always want to have these good opinions. Your clock's changing constantly. I had no regard for my personal health. Honestly, I was completely burnt out. I was miserable. I was depressed. I need to get out of there. I'd spent all this time thinking, this is my dream job. This is my opportunity. This is going to be the thing that I build my life on. And then after about 10 years in the business, I got the opportunity to go into podcasting. I took the leap because I thought that for where I was personally, emotionally, thinking about where the business was going for radio, there's been a lot of layoffs in corporate radio. Over the last couple of years, there were just a lot of things that lined up for me to say, this is a major risk, but it's something I feel like I have to do. And I took the leap. That's how I got started with all this.
Wow. What a story. You're talking about being completely in the mix of what you were doing, but at the same time, you had no life because you're going 24/7 trying to be a jack of all trades. You become a master of none. You're trying to do everything perfectly, but something breaks. More importantly, what broke is you emotionally.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was hard for me because I had so much of my identity that was built up in this, right? It is my relationships. It is all the stuff that I like to do in my free time. It was how people identified me. You know, it's, hey, I'm the sports nut. So I was always that guy. And then to be like, okay, well, now I've got to walk away from this. It took me about 9 months to fully internalize and go ahead with the decision to walk away. It was a lot of work, a lot of soul searching, but yeah, I had no life. And for a guy who used to be so social, I was out all the time. When I was a kid, I was staying over friends' houses. And in college, I was out, not always partying, but I was always out and around people. I just liked being social and to really not have that element at all because I'm in a radio booth by myself. As much as it kind of felt like you'd think it's a social thing, you're doing this talk show, you are taking calls. To some degree, it was incredibly lonely. So yeah, I mean, it was really hard, but eventually it just felt like the obvious thing to do.
You made a transition. You remind me of when I was in the software industry as an applications guy installing software, there were times where I'd have to get up because I had to drive to another state. I was in Chicago and I'd have to go to Ohio, Philadelphia, Indiana, Missouri, and other places. I had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to drive to those places to get there before 8 a.m. to either install the software or put together the training to teach the engineers to go from drafting boards to 3D computer aided design. I'd be there for a week. It wasn't like a one day training. I was there for a whole week. And then they had to drive back. And so you're in a hotel by yourself. You don't know anybody. So I completely get the isolation aspect of it.
Yeah, it was tough. But I consider myself to be a happy person. I'm always a positive guy. And like I tried to talk it away of just, oh, no, you're tired. You're frustrated. I hit a brick wall too, right? Because I'm a young guy. I was exceptionally young for my age to be at that role. When I did my first ever show, I was 25. And I mentioned that on the air, and my bosses were like, listen, you can't say how old you are until you're 40. And I was like, you're telling me I can't say how old I am for 15 years on the radio? And they were like, yeah, that's it. You can't do it. So it was such a weird thing to hide parts of my identity and not have these opportunities because that was my 20s, my early 30s, where
I was my 20s too. Days I can relate.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about, what does SBX Productions do today?
So what we do is simplify what podcasting is for business owners. Because the examples that you get when you're starting a show comes from entertainment. And it's a terrible blueprint. So many people start these shows and they think, and I've asked them when they're going to get a sponsor. It's not how it's going to work. You don't have a big audience. You're not doing this for entertainment necessarily. You're probably doing it more for marketing. So you want to talk about what your business does, which means you've got a very niche group. For everything that you're doing, it's really more like advertising. You are the advertiser. You are sponsoring yourself. And that's how your content should operate. When people come into it, mindset of, oh, I'm going to get sponsors. So show needs to be for big audiences. And they're not talking about what they do consistently and what skills they have in creating good sound bites for themselves. It totally misses the mark. It's why so many people get burnt out on all of this. It's a ton of work and it's frustrating. So my whole thing is I've seen the entertainment side of things. I know what that looks like. I know what that path is. And there are principles from it that work, right? There's certain things about being able to pop and get attention and be engaging and deliver a compelling sound bite and things like that. But how do you redirect it in a way that makes it feel like your podcast isn't some kind of side project, which for a lot of people, I think it does feel that way, and instead feel like it's a part of your business, it's part of what you do every day, and therefore it's easy to talk about, you're happy to promote it, and it generates more for your business.
Yeah, so how can, for example, let's just say I'm in the home improvement industry, and I do kitchen remodeling, okay? How can a kitchen remodeler leverage a podcast to create brand awareness and attract more business for them?
Yeah. So in part, it would be who's their ideal customer, right? Like where are they getting their business from? And if some of this is, let's say, people who do a lot of flipping for houses, great. Let's build a show where one of the kinds of people you'll bring on is people that do that. Let's talk to people that flip houses. Let's talk about the complications. Let's talk about the kitchen and all the problems that go into it. By doing that, you're having a dynamic conversation. You're building a relationship with somebody that's a potential referral partner. You're getting your own sound bites out of this, and it's stuff that can be informational for other people who are interested in buying like this. Or, you know, if somebody bought a house, then they're going to DIY it. Maybe they're learning some stuff as well. And when they realize, because a lot of DIY people realize, oh, this is a lot, and I probably am in over my head a little bit, maybe they'll call you. That's just the entry point. But that's really the basic ideas. Who are the kinds of people that you want to talk with that can help you grow your business, whether it's direct clients, strategic partners, that kind of thing? How do you create a lane for you to naturally talk about what you do with those people where it doesn't feel salesy, it doesn't feel forced, and it opens up a good conversation, and then just continue to do that again and build up your network and proof of concept and everything else that you're doing?
Well, you said a key point there, Vince, which is you don't want to come across salesy because at that point, people are not going to be listening anymore. It's a fine art to have that conversation and weave that in without coming across buy my stuff.
Yeah, it is hard. And for people who haven't practiced doing this stuff, especially, it's hard because you don't know what a good topic is, for example. Being able to dive deep and be specific about things in a way that feels unique, that does actually reflect your expertise and differentiate you from your competition. It takes repetition, a lot of thought and practice to get there. I mean, when I was doing radio shows, I would go in 4 hours early for the show. And sometimes I would pace around for two of those hours going, I don't know what my main topic is. I have no idea. And I'm just throwing all this stuff at the wall in my head and laying on the floor in agony, like, please, God, please strike me with lightning so I have a topic to come up with here that I think can drive this show. Sometimes I figured it out and sometimes I didn't, but I was thinking about this stuff constantly. And the more that I did it, the better I got. There is a real art form to it. I mean, conversation is an art form. It just is. Figuring out those right ways to approach it in that very specific space with these very specific kinds of people, it's highly specialized.
Yeah, I have a saying, to be terrific, you need to be specific. And if you're specific, you'll be terrific.
Love it.
And so if we go back to the home remodeler, I just did some basic coaching with a new general contractor doing home remodeling. They were looking at kitchens, bathrooms, and flooring, and they wanted to market all three services. I had a conversation. They were in a group thing that we were conducting, and we did a micro mastermind. I said, you're going for all these different things. Why don't you just focus on the one vertical, which would be your biggest moneymaker, kitchen remodeling. That's the bigger project. So become known as a woman-owned kitchen remodeling service. You focus on kitchens, but can also do bathrooms and flooring. From an SEO perspective and messaging, you are the kitchen person who does all these other things as well. I think a lot of businesses get caught up in doing everything, which means they can't do anything very well.
100%. And I was the same way. When I got started with the business, we said podcasting up front, but I was new to business and people were coming at us with all sorts of different suggestions. Like, hey, can you come to my place and shoot video and do some stuff for social media? Like, I would go to events and edit a reel on the fly. I would film some stuff and put together a highly produced video of an event as it was happening. And I would edit it there at the event and post it on their Instagram story to drive traction to the event. That's a ton of work.
Sure. You know,
it's different processes and all those different things. So we really had to learn the lesson, make the mistake, and then scale everything down. So it was a lot of removal, but now it is simplicity, right? I'm managing podcasts for business owners. My show reflects the same thing. So my whole podcast is helping business owners with their podcast. Like, it's all very direct, simple, and clean. But that's it. It takes time to get there. I don't have any regrets in that sense, but you got to take your lumps to figure it out.
Yeah, let's share a story, speaking of that, how you've worked with the business and got them going in their podcast for their business and transformed them into what I call a super fan that in turn is basically acting as your sales agent and attracting more business back to you.
Yeah, so I've had a couple of different instances of this. One that's really fun, there's a show that I work with. It's called Why Does It Feel So Wrong to Be Human at Work? They consult with different HR teams and help them with workplace culture and communication. They started this podcast about a year and a half ago and did 10 episodes. They did one season to start. And from that, they were able to build a relationship with a conference that takes place at different spots in the US a couple times a year. So they built that relationship. They did a live version of the podcast, more interactive conversation with different people that attended. And now that's a regularly occurring event. They have the show, the rep, and the relationships they've built. Now they are on tour with it, with this conference, which is huge for them. They just came back for the second season, which we just finished recording. And I'm getting a testimonial from them on Friday. Tying those things together has been great for another client. She is a leadership coach. She's working with executives to help with culture from the top down. Hey, how do your decisions as a leader impact your managers, your general employees, et cetera? It's gotten to the point where she's been such a big fan that she added me to her coaching cohort. So it's a general thing that she offers within her services to these large businesses that she works with, where for things that are out of her scope, she refers people directly. There's a whole business arrangement that she customizes for that. She loved everything that I did with the show. She's given us testimonials already. Now she's added me to this cohort. So she's directly vouching for me to every client that she brings in the door. And I mean, you can't ask for much more than that.
Well, that's a super fan, as I call it. And when a super fan recommends you to somebody else, that whole engagement conversation is collapsed because now you've had a super fan strictly refer you. People don't usually get into price shopping and everything else. They just say, what do we got to do to get this working versus going to 2-3 different vendors to get quotes. Having that super fan promote you collapses the whole sales process.
It's great. Yeah. How much easier it is when you have all of that in your back pocket. Podcasting is such a niche industry. There's a lot of people doing it these days, but there's a difference between people. Some just run studios. You can go to the studio and they record everything for you. They record and edit and that's it. Some just freelance editors. For me, I consider myself first and foremost a strategist. I'm there to help you understand the concept of the show and the goals you want to set for your business with that show, create that alignment and do everything relentlessly towards those goals. That's what I do. That's what makes me different than somebody who can just do the editing for the audio and video. We do that, but it's more of a consequence of the strategy. That's really our approach to it and being able to distinguish ourselves in that way. My sales process tends to be slow because people are cautious about making the commitment to a podcast. To have a referral makes the process so much easier.
Well, it's actually not even a referral, really. It's an introduction because there's a difference between referrals and introductions. A referral is a name and a phone number. And typically you get a call and probably get a message and all that stuff. introduction is much more powerful because you're getting that email. In today's world, it's done via an email, and there's an introduction. Hey, you know, Freddie, here's Vince. He's a podcast guy. I think you guys should talk together because you can help each other's businesses, et cetera. It's a whole different level of passing off versus a referral. Here's a phone number and somebody that may be interested in your service.
That makes a lot of sense. That's actually a great distinction. I've never heard it put that way before, but I love that.
There's an old saying, poor people chase referrals, rich people chase introductions.
Makes a lot of sense to me. Here's the nice thing about podcasting. You've probably experienced this yourself because you're having all these different guests on the show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you get to meet everybody. Being a producer, it's been such a benefit because I have engineers that usually sit in on the recording with people. So there's somebody from my business that is sitting on every single recording that we're a part of, which means that we get, whether it's me or somebody else, FaceTime with all of these guests from our clients. And to be able to build out those networks and the level of trust that goes with that, it's been huge. For us, part of it's the wow factor, right? The super fan element of it. People are blown away by us being hands-on to supply somebody that sits in on the recording because things go wrong. Sometimes people have issues with their connection, or they can't figure out why their microphone isn't working, or they can't hear you, or whatever it might be. So we're always assigning somebody to sit in and manage that. You need somebody who's a professional. You've booked somebody's time. That time is valuable. It's embarrassing to say, can we reschedule? I can't figure out how my microphone works. Like, it's just a terrible
place. I've had somebody that had that issue, and we did have to reschedule. The reality is, people don't realize the most important commodity on this planet is only one thing: time. You can't buy more of it, and you can't buy it back.
It's the truth. And trying to manage that is everything, because that's podcasting. So much of it is time.
Business in general. It's just in business in general, because a lot of businesses get stuck working in their business versus on their business. They're not buying back their time. To use Dan Martell's quote, that means empowering somebody else to handle a task. You might have to hang around for a little bit till they get the hang of it. But once you empower that person, they take ownership and run with it. Now you've just opened up time for you to do something else that's more important to help grow your business and become more of the face of the business versus being buried in the business.
Exactly. And I've read Back Your Time, and I've recommended that to like 50 different people. It's a great book, very useful. Trying to get other people on board to do stuff, managing different shows, to sit in on the recordings, to do the editing, coordinating guests so that I can be out and about, going to networking events, hopping on different podcasts, bringing people onto mine, posting like crazy on social media, commenting on LinkedIn. I reserve time for all of that stuff because it's how you keep the relationships.
And then you can, in today's world, leverage AI to continue that engagement in a clever way, so that you're able to multitask if you leverage AI technology in a proper way, because you could be doing something else that's communicating with somebody, and at the right time, it passes it over to you, and it's a seamless conversation because you went from the AI in a chat. You can program all the chat, and then it says, okay, hang on a second. We'll get you Vince right here. Or they may be thinking they're talking to you, and then next thing you are talking to them. So there's a lot of clever ways people can really maximize their time and really help scale their business.
And that's one of those things in a similar vein with automating, right? So yep. I'm trying to automate certain processes, and I actually love your opinion on this. What I'm working on right now is I would love to build an automation for early stage leads, whether it's referral, introduction, for whatever it is. I want it to be that I have this conversation, and then as an automatic follow-up, 24 hours later, I'm sending them, hey, here's some free resources that I've got. Have you been around that kind of process? What generally works in those kinds of situations? I'd love to know.
Yeah, it's real important because follow-up is everything. Well, if there's an inquiry that comes in, I have a rule. You get a 15-minute window to respond, especially if it's coming in through the internet. I just had a guest on recently that backed this up. She shared a story where her AC went out and she needed it fixed. She's in Florida, so they needed it fixed. And some people didn't respond back. They're on vacation. It was 4th of July or something like that. The company that responded got the business. That company has maintained contact with her ongoing. You can automate that where you provide some value. You can also say, hey, I'm just circling back. I want to reach out and see how everything's going. One of the things that I share, for example, I'll go back to home improvement. I gave somebody this idea, and I've had it for over a decade to help several remodeling companies scale. So you propose the deal, and they're getting 3 bids for the kitchen remodel. You're the only one that says, thank you for the opportunity. That's your follow-up. Thank you for the opportunity to bid on this project. We know it's important. Most people won't do that. They'll get the bid and wait. Now, you get the project, send another thank you. This is an ongoing engagement. You can automate this, saying, thank you for selecting us. We're super excited about working with you. Here's what's going to happen for the next 90 days. So they have an idea how they can plan their life. You take pictures, et cetera, of the whole project. You document the project for them. You want to turn them into a super fan that can show, hey, look at this whole kitchen remodeling. So you've created a whole story. When you're done, you send another thank you for the opportunity to have done the remodeling. Then you check in 30 days later to ensure they send in their warranty paperwork. Then you go to 6 months, you go to 1 year, and you stay that year, and you can create that in an automated fashion to maintain that engagement. Same thing with prospecting. You got a prospect that comes in, you can set up a system that says, hey, thank you so much for the inquiry. If it's something that they need, a phone call or whatever. And then if they're still just getting inquiry, put them on a drip campaign that reaches out periodically, provides some value, some insights, and then every now and then go old school and actually call them.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And the drip campaigns are the kind of thing that I would love to do more of. It's finding the time to go and properly build these out and really prioritize which ones I want to do. I've got some handouts, and that's one of the things that's been helpful for me and built that trust. Hey, you're interested in starting a show? No problem. Here's a handout. This is every step that we do. I did this for myself with my show. I'll do it for you with yours. Go check this out. If you have any questions, let me know. No pressure. And things like that have been really good. What are some basic campaigns where it's 3 quick follow-up emails after an appointment if they have an existing show versus they're launching a new show, or it's a networking call and it's informational and just getting to know each other. Building those out is definitely a major thing that I want to get done. It's just so much work, man. That automation stuff is exhausting.
But it's a game changer. I mean, when I was selling software products, I'd spend 2-3 weeks getting acclimated with the platform. And all the letters and automations that would be sent up. I was the guy in 1986 that had a Mac and wrote my own CRM system. I carried my Mac with me and did ROI using Excel on the Mac. It wouldn't be my ROI. It'd be yours because it used your numbers, the fax machine, because the Mac didn't communicate to anything back then. And then we put the quotation and fax out the quotation. You'd sign it. But going back to what you were talking about, and I'm going to share an idea for you. Again, going back to be terrific, you need to be specific. And if you're specific, you'll be terrific. I would look at creating some vertical markets that you are targeting and create the messaging for that vertical market as to how the podcast show, if they're looking to start up, how that podcast show would impact their vertical market versus here's a general that I can do podcasting for everybody. So when I was working with interpreting and translation, language communications, we did the marketing and mailed out the collateral. We created the messaging for different departments. We were selling it to the state of Arizona, which we landed. We created messaging for the health services department, for real estate, for OSHA, and for hospitals or law firms, especially criminal defense lawyers dealing with immigrants who don't speak the language. Each one had a problem. And we were the solution.
And that's one of the things that over the last year, I would say, we've been really looking to narrow down. And we've done it to a degree to 2 different verticals. So one of them is business coaches. The business and everything that you're doing is relationship-based. You have all of this expertise and insight and experience. So let's showcase all of those things. Most of those people don't want to be on social media a lot. This can get them a flood of content. So doing all of that is pretty clean, and that's worked well for us. That was one of the examples I mentioned earlier, one of the super fans that I've got. Like, she's a business coach, and that's been great. Another one actually has been organizations. So what I've done is I have a client that is a co-working space, and we are working on studio services. So for those people really offering coaching where, hey, you want to launch a show, but you're small, you don't have an established client base. I do coaching to give people the DIY little extra punch up, guide them slowly. And then for other people, it's launching the shows and doing that in partnership with those co-working spaces. So that's been an interesting service to provide to members, meeting a lot of different people. It's still related to the business coaches in a lot of ways because it's a lot of the freelancer and solopreneur types. We're also looking to take that further and start developing a more interconnective, community-focused podcast. How do you come up with a show that really maxes out your membership, relationship building within the membership, testimonials? So we've got that in the works too.
Very cool.
So Vince, share with us all the services that you guys do at SBX.
So the main thing is full service, hands-on podcast management. That can range based on whether you're an audio show, video show, if you have a newsletter and you're interested in a transcript. But generally speaking, we help you with the overall strategy for the show, production scheduling. We have the engineer that sits in on the recording. We help you in post-production, making the clips, quality checking, all of that. We can do the social posting as well, scheduling it and getting it up. We upload the files for you. So full service. Beyond that, we do coaching services. That's an hour straight up with me, one-on-one, talking about any of that. Plus, on a more specific level, really diving into hosting. So 10 years of sports talk radio experience. Like, I've done it. I've seen it. I know what it looks like. I've run all these different podcasts. I know how to run an interview. I know how to deliver a soundbite. I know how to think about these topics and stay in that very unique space that you want to be in. I really do help people and truly love doing that, just talking about the art of hosting and guiding people in that way. So all of that, show launching services. So if anybody wants to figure out what this looks like, the way we launch a show is really we build everything up to build one episode and go, do you like this concept? Does it work for your business? Can you handle the workload? Oh, it's too much. No problem. Let's reimagine this. Or this is great. Okay, cool. Now let's start talking about what a full season looks like or how to do this weekly. And that's how we treat it. But first, commit to one, understand the workload, understand the process, and go from there.
Oh, yeah. It looks fun. It looks easy. But as you and I know, there's a lot of work involved, especially if you want to deliver a quality product. Editing the show, getting it put together, making it flow, all that stuff takes a lot of work.
It does.
Even though there's tools out there that simplify, you still got to go through it, listen to it. There's a sound, a verbiage correct. It's an art. But what we're doing is creating super fans of the guest, because I've created numerous super fans for people being on the show. They're promoting the show, and that's attracting more guests and listeners. Part of our job is to create super fans of our own show.
Yeah, it's everything. One of the things we've done during this conversation, Freddie, that I don't see all the time on podcasts, but it's important and you do this well, is you have your own expertise and you're bringing it to the table. When it is an actual conversation and it's a back and forth, it's better for everybody. As a guest, I'm more engaged in the conversation. I think it's way more interesting. I was able to ask you a question earlier and get your feedback and your expertise. That's good for you and your brand and the kinds of clips you can make and establishing why you're the expert with the audience. People don't do that enough. It's a shame because you build this platform, and when you spend 90% of the time letting somebody else speak, you don't show off anything and you're rotating guests each week. What have you really done to establish your own audience, your own brand, your own voice? You just haven't done it.
And I think what I've learned is, as the host, my job is to make you look good. I mean, that's really, at the end of the day, that's my job, is how I look at it. I mean, yeah, I share my stuff, but you're the guest. So it's to edify you as being the guest. And then I throw in my 3 cents and go from there.
That's right. I like that. So yeah, but that's the game. It's, hey, how can I make this person look good? And how can I dive into certain aspects that are going to be, you know, knowing the audience so well, what are those things that are going to help this guest help them? So yeah, being able to tie that together is just, it's such a gift.
Well, Vince, as we're coming to the end here, how can people find you?
So if you want to listen to the podcast, you are a business owner that's having a hard time with your show, my podcast is called It's Not Just Talking with Vince Quinn. Go check out the show. That's on all platforms. And if you're looking to have a meeting with me directly, you can go to freepodcasthelp.com and I will happily talk with you, whether it's a new show that you want to get started, an existing show that you're having problems with, or a very personalized session, freepodcasthelp.com.
That's a great offer and great information. We'll make sure that's in our show notes for our listeners. And again, Vince, thank you so much for your time. It's been a great conversation, and we definitely look forward to having you on the show down the road.
Sounds good to me. Thanks for having me.
Hey, superfans, superstar, Freddie D here. Before we wrap, here's your 3A playbook power move to attract ideal clients, turn them into advocates, and accelerate your business success. So here's a top insight from today's episode. If your podcast doesn't sound like a strategic extension of your business, it's just background noise, and nobody refers background noise. So here's your business growth action step. Map out 3 podcast topics that answer real questions your ideal clients ask. Then use those episodes to attract leads and spark referral introductions. If today's conversation sparked an idea for you, or you know of a fellow business leader who could benefit, share it with them. And grab the full breakdown in the show notes. Let's accelerate together and start creating business superfans who champion your brand.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. If you found today's conversation valuable, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share this episode with someone who could use these powerful insights to level up their business. Remember, creating business superfans isn't just about your customers. It's about fostering genuine, impactful connections across your entire business ecosystem. When you invest in those relationships, success doesn't just happen, it accelerates. Until next time, I'm your host, Freddie D. Let's keep building superfans, creating unstoppable momentum, and driving your business toward extraordinary success. See you in the next episode.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to BusinessSuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.